Oftentimes when you hear about a haunting or a paranormal investigation that's going into very dark territory, you'll hear the words surround yourself in light, surround yourself in love, positivity. It's a very key thing that many believe to be key in terms of keeping yourself safe from some of those dark forces that may be out there. Now, whether you believe that or not is completely up to you. I have not been in any situations personally where I was told, you know, do that. I've heard many people do it. And I would have to say if I was in a situation, I would, I think, do that and follow along as someone who is not as experienced as others in those areas and go, okay, this is best practices, then let's do best practices. The thing is, in life, it's not always reasonable. It's not always something that you can expect everyone to always be in the greatest of places mentally, to always be surrounded in light and positivity. There's just things that will pull us down and kind of make us feel the way that they do. And sometimes those things keep pulling and pulling and pulling and pulling. Sometimes it's people, sometimes it's other things, it's outside forces, it's whatever it may be. But it can lead us into kind of dark areas. When we get to darker places, sometimes it seems to attract darker energies, darker things, possibly paranormal things, possibly ghostly things, and maybe even evil things. Our show today is filled with stories of people in dark places and what seems to come along with those dark places that the living venture into. The moment a grandfather passes from Earth, he appears in the dreams of a grandchild with a message. Activity in a house seems to be centered around very serious medical diagnoses. And how was a dark force removed from one woman's life when she thought the best solution was to end it all? We'll talk about all those stories today on Real Ghost Stories Online, an EPP bonus episode number 351. My name's Tony Bruschi. Stay with us. When someone passes on, is there ever a way to get in contact with them? Do they find ways to get in contact with us? Are we sometimes just as eager to get in contact with them from our side as they are from their side? Do they suddenly have a whole new repertoire of tips and tricks and methods of getting in touch with us that otherwise may not be available while they were alive? For example, contacting one in their dreams. It seems to be a very common occurrence. Some that go far beyond just the desire that we may have as living people to see our loved ones again, but messages, moments, things that we otherwise would not be able to attain, sometimes come through those dreams from those loved ones. Like I said, with information that we otherwise did not have. How do you explain that? It seems maybe that's a new way that we're able to communicate with others once we've passed on. Our next story is a prime example of that. Right before a grandfather dies, or right when a grandfather dies, makes an appearance in a dream. It's your grandchild. Take a listen. I've been listening to your podcast now for a year or better. I've been entertaining the idea of writing in with my own experience, but had not found the time. Recently, I've heard a few stories about loved ones visiting to say last goodbyes after their deaths, and I took that as a message from the universe to finally write mine down. In the early morning hours of March 3rd, 2016, my grandfather died. I honestly believe my spirit was brought to the afterlife for one last visit. This experience was incredible, and it forever changed my belief system. It was comforting because I now know without a doubt there is something after death. Here's that story. First, a few things you should know. My grandfather, whom I call Poppy, was in a nursing home. But he was in good health at this point. In fact, the staff was starting to discuss his discharge plan because he was well enough to go home. He'd been admitted to the nursing home to a convalesce area after a health scare a few weeks prior, but he had recovered with no lasting effects and could completely care for himself. So his death was very sudden and unexpected. Second, his wife, my grandmother, was also in that nursing home, but in the memory care facility because of severe Alzheimer's and dementia. Her condition had worsened to the point that she could barely speak because she simply could not remember most words. Lastly, I'm an exceptionally light sleeper, and when woken up, I'm immediately awake and aware. Around 4 a.m. on March 3rd, my then six-month-old puppy had gotten me up for the usual trip outside to do his business. Afterwards, he went back inside to bed like normal. I fell back asleep easily and started to dream. I say dream because I do not know what else to call it, but I do not think that is what this experience was. I remember that floaty, swimmy feeling of falling asleep and blackness, and I faded into this bright, well-lit place. It was like I'd been placed there, and my consciousness had to catch up. I blinked a few times as the blackness fell away to find I was sitting at a table. I looked slowly around to realize I'm at my grandparents' dining room table. In both life and this place, the dining room table was at the back of a large room that served as a dining and living room combined. The kitchen was through a doorway to the right, and I could hear someone, presumably Poppy, making food. This was, admittedly, a familiar scene. He loved to cook, especially for his loved ones, and I'd often visited to share a meal with them prior to my grandmother's health troubles. Everything was the same as I remembered it, except that it was better, nicer, perfected. I remember thinking it was like how they would have wanted it if they could have had the money and energy to make it that way. There were no longer any chips in the paint or cracks in the glass of the old photos and so on. Everything was brightly lit, like sunlight was gently radiating from within. But it was not too bright. It did not hurt my eyes, and at this point I started to think that this was more than just a dream. The television was playing a baseball game on the opposite wall to where I sat, and behind it the curtains were open to the front yard, sidewalk, and street beyond. The street was busier than usual, and many more people were walking by than normally would have been in our small town. Everything outside of the house appeared to be from the 1950s era. Cars, clothing, etc. At this point, I see my great aunt walk by, which caused me to doubt this situation. You see, to my knowledge, she was alive and well. My grandmother was sitting in the rocking chair next to the table. We were having a conversation that I can no longer remember. But I do take note that she was getting frustrated and confused because she could not seem to remember certain words, which I provided for her. It was then that I realized those were the words that she still knew in life, here on Earth, however you want to say it. And I fully understood that Poppy is the one who had died, and I knew that I was not dreaming. These are fully conscious thoughts I'm having. I start to stand up to go to him, but an alarming buzzing sound startles me. I look to my right, directly at the wall between me and the kitchen, where the sound seems to be coming from, only to fall into blackness again. The buzzing sound continues to my right, and I struggle to open my eyes. It takes me a few more buzzes to realize I'm back in my own bed, and my cell phone is ringing on the nightstand to the right of my head. I fumble forward and must concentrate extremely hard to swipe correctly to answer a call from my mother. It's 8:26 a.m., and I know what she's going to say. I manage to groggily answer. I put the phone on the pillow and lay my head on it because staying upright was too difficult just then. She says, "Nikki, I have some bad news. Poppy died this morning." "I know," I reply. "What? How? I haven't even called your sister yet," comes her startled response. I'm struggling to wake up from what I assume now was the abrupt and sudden transition from whatever that experience was and my current reality. I very much just wanted to close my eyes and fall asleep, but I struggled to sit up and say, "Oh, give me a minute. You woke me up from this other place." I take a few deep breaths and force my eyes to open. I started by saying that Poppy was okay where he was, and the parts of Grandma that were no longer with us were there with him. Then I recount the whole thing to my mother. After I finish, I start asking questions about how and when it happened. When the third shift nursing staff did their final round, Poppy had complained of just not feeling well. So as a precaution, they transferred him to the emergency room to be evaluated by a doctor at about midnight. I believe this was the standard practice because the nursing home was in the same building as the hospital. If a patient needed care beyond what the nursing staff could provide, they used the emergency room as a resource instead of maintaining an on-call doctor. Anyway, he spent about 3 hours in the ER where they did not find any cause for alarm. He was stable, given fluids, and monitored. Around 3 a.m., he was transferred back to the nursing home's care. He told his nurse that he felt much better and was going to get some sleep. By the time the next shift came on for their first round, 5 or 6 a.m., he was gone. That's going to wrap up the preview portion of this week's EPP bonus episode of Real Ghost Stories Online. If you want to hear the rest of it, become an extra podcast person, an EPP, sign up at ghostpodcast.com or patreon.com/realghoststories. $5 a month gets you access to the rest of the episode and find out the conclusion to all of our stories, including activity in a house that seems to be centered around a very serious medical diagnosis. And how was a dark force removed from one woman's life when she thought the best solution was to end it all? You want access to this and all of our bonus episodes, all 351 of them, including all of our archived episodes, advanced episodes, all of it's commercial free, and you can start binging away right now. It would take months, literally, if you listen 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, to get through all of it. There's that much material. It's the world's largest audio archive of ghost stories ever created. So if you want access to it, patreon.com/realghoststories. Or ghostpodcast.com. Please check it out and help keep us on the air. Until next time, for Real Ghost Stories Online, I'm Tony Bruschi. Thanks for listening.